global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Catherine Cowdery. Bloomberg Taking Stock is brought to you by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse derivatives marketplace, offering the widest range of global benchmark products across all major asset classes. CME Group is where the world comes to manage risk. Learn more at CMEGroup.com. Well, the stock market has recovered earlier losses. Tensions in the Middle East appear to have eased in the wake of Turkey's downing of a Russian jet near the border with Syria. The S&P 500 turned positive in afternoon trading as a sell-off in riskier assets waned after Russia gave no indication it was considering a military response against Turkey. Energy producers have been up 2.6% as crude oil rallies and transportation and airline stocks led declines, with the Bloomberg U.S. Airlines Index down as much as 2.9%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. Dow Industrial Average is currently up 31 points, an eighth of a percent, trading at 17,823. S&P 500 up 3 points, an eighth of a percent. It's trading at 2,089. And the NASDAQ is down 2 at 5,100. West Texas Intermediate crude oil up $1.20 a barrel, 2.9% at $42.95. Spot gold up $7.80 an ounce at $10.74.40. And the 10-year Treasury is unchanged with a yield of 2.24%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now back to Taking Stock.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
The world is watching. The world is waiting to see what happens now after NATO alliance member Turkey shoots down a Russian warplane that strayed into its airspace from Syria. NATO calling today for calm and de-escalation. Russian President Vladimir Putin accusing Turkey of a stab in the back in the downing of this jet. We are joined now by Ambassador Lincoln P. Bloomfield. He is chairman at the Stimson Center. It would take me far too long to go over his long portfolio of service in the Department of State, the Department of Defense. He was accorded the personal rank of ambassador by President Bush in 2008, and we welcome him now to the show. So, Ambassador Bloomfield, how dangerous is this situation?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think that the NATO countries, the United States, and President Putin of Russia will not be trigger happy. I think they will look for ways not to escalate the military situation between the two sides.
Ambassador, what kind of weaponry does the Islamic State have?
They've taken a lot of weapons from the Iraqi army, many of which were supplied by the United States, and maybe some of which the Iraqi army and the Shia militias of Iraq have obtained from Iran. We've also seen Iraqi military soldiers from the state holding new Russian weapons, including advanced shoulder-fired missiles. So they have a collection of weapons, and some of these have been either surrendered or volunteered to the Islamic State in Iraq. And I imagine some of those have moved into Syria as well.
So what role is Turkey playing in this geopolitical puzzle, particularly in the Middle East, where Russia has conducted airstrikes in Syria, presumably to go after ISIS? But of course, in many cases, it seems that they have hit the opposition forces in Syria that Turkey and others have supported. Is there some message here in that Turkey finally decides to shoot down this Russian warplane? It's not the first time a Russian plane has strayed over the border.
Right. Well, I think the interesting way to look at that is what the Russians are doing in Syria, because although they said they were there to fight ISIS, the news reports have consistently pointed out that they're in a lot of places where ISIS is not present. So they were bombing in the southern part of Syria, in Deraa, which is the town where the Arab Spring first reached Syria in 2011. And that's where the Syrian armed forces went down and started shooting their own people. And it really started the conflict inside Syria. And then lately, this latest incident was over an area where there are not believed to be any ISIS forces at all. But rather opponents of the Assad regime. So I would clarify this to say that Putin brought his forces into Syria for the purpose of propping up Bashar al-Assad's regime. And for the Turks, the NATO Secretary General has all but confirmed that all the NATO sources that he has heard from confirm that Turkey is right, that the Russian Su-24 was in Turkish airspace. And there had been previous violations. So this was really Russia pushing the envelope, and the Turks made clear that NATO and that Turkey would not allow its sovereign airspace to be violated in this way. So it wasn't a shock. It shouldn't have been a surprise to Russia. It may have been a bit of a shock, but they were testing, and they got their answer.
Ambassador Bloomfield, is it worth making a distinction between the military and political battle that goes on the ground in the Middle East versus terror attacks such as the one we witnessed in Paris?
Tim, that's a great question, and the answer is yes, in my view. And I think this is the kind of question that can lead us to greater wisdom and better policy. Because, let me put it this way, after the Paris attacks, President Hollande has clearly, sort of jumped on a plane, and he's going from capital to capital in an all-out effort to mobilize support to try to stop this threat before anything further occurs, such as happened in Paris. And of course, he should do that. But there are 44 million Muslims in Europe, and there are no borders. So once someone is inside Europe, they have free passage. And so they have a security concern, as well as the fact that Europe has had, I don't know how to put this, but Muslims have not been welcomed to integrate as fully and assimilate the way they might in America, where we have a tradition of assimilation and less of a social class structure traditionally. So they have a problem. But the U.S. side, similarly, has focused on homeland security. What are we going to do with all of these people flying in from Europe, and will we have the airline manifests and all of that? That's very, very evident in the discussion you see at the White House and in the Congress. It's really about preventing the next attack. That is different from, to go to your question, the political analysis of what's happening in the Middle East. And just to give you the summary line, I believe that what the administration is sort of slowly coming to realize, and I think they have been slow to realize, is that you can't defeat ISIS until you find an accommodation in Syria that where the refugees will go home. You know, no one's ever talked about the refugees, the 4 million displaced Syrians actually going back to Syria, but they would if the regime that bombed them out of their towns wasn't there anymore. So, you know, remove Bashar al-Assad, take the top tier off of the military and the regime, and have a different set of rules and a sort of a new Syria, and you could see some refugees returning.
So what Secondly, is Vladimir Putin's game here? If you said it should have been no surprise to the Russian forces that their plane was shot down when it strayed into Turkey, we know, again, that Putin and President Obama have different positions on Assad. Putin seems to think that we should keep him there as the stabilizing force so you can deal with ISIS, whereas President Obama and now President Hollande are saying they maintain this position that, no, Assad has to go. Why at this point would Putin allow something as provocative as shooting down or have a plane going over the border and get shot down to occur? I don't understand.
Well, I can't speak to why a specific aircraft sortie was run in that area. I assume they were trying to they probably have a battle plan to try to attack pockets of, if you will, Syrian resistance to the regime, which is sort of not too far from Damascus. And I think that's what the Russian airplanes have been doing. But look, I don't think that this is a debate between President Obama and President Putin. I think that many American analysts are not bloody-minded enough to see what Putin's real interests are. Number one is to sort of establish himself as a tough power to be reckoned with. Number two, Assad regime is a major arms client and a source of revenue. He lost Gaddafi and had something like $3 billion of arms contracts that disappeared when Gaddafi fell. And Bashar al-Assad is one of his remaining major clients. Now, Iran, after the Iran nuclear deal, and the arms embargo is lifted, that we already see that Russia is gearing up to sell weapons to Iran. So he's selling weapons. He's trying to gear up his industrial base as part of the restoration of Russian strength. And he, you know, and he also wants high oil prices. So he's mixing it up in the Middle East. Oil had dropped down near 40. It's now trending upward. Take a look at how dependent the Russian GDP is on the price of oil, and you'll realize that he really cares. His vitality, like kryptonite, really depends on the price of oil. And so he has a whole different set of interests. He's also selling uranium to Iran all of a sudden. So there's a lot of sort of backstory here where Putin is doing things that are entirely on the other side of the ledger from American interests. And I think we've been slow to wake up to this. So he's gone rogue, and I think he's going to have to back down now.
I want to thank you very much for spending time with us. Ambassador Lincoln Bloomfield is the chairman of the Stimson Center in Washington, D.C., giving us more detail and perspective on the ongoing conflict in the Middle East with Islamic State. You're listening to Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio.